want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Praise the Lord. I hope that that's your desire, to see God in this hour. Amen. I always forget, well, not always, but this time I forgot to bring out the microphone. Drop it down. Okay. All right. So, Lord bless you. You know how sometimes you leave your house and like you know you're forgetting something. Your watch or your phone, and the same thing when I came here to the pulpit. Yeah. It was just like that. You feel kind of naked, I guess. Yeah. Something's missing. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, saints. I'm going to do my best not to try to keep you all too long this afternoon, but I do ask a very special prayer request, and also as you continue to pray for Nanny, but my wife has a cousin in the Philippines who is one of Brother Roel's, Soriano's, nephew's, nephew. They just had a baby, a month and a half ago, almost 2 months. And, the baby had swallowed some fluid, some amniotic fluid, so they kept the baby in the hospital. Well, the couple, this is their first baby, and it's a young couple in their 20s. They have not been able to go back to see the baby in almost, it's gonna be almost 2 months. And right now, at this very moment, the baby now being in the hospital has gotten, what is it, where you can't breathe and stuff. What is that called? Something on those lines. I can't remember what it is. Anyways, the baby is needing oxygen, and it's like on the verge of passing away at this very moment. So the family right now is very distraught at this moment. So I just wanted to ask that if we all just pray for them and just give them peace, and that God would just work a miracle in that little baby's life. Pneumonia is what the baby has. Pneumonia, that's what it is. Okay, so let's just bow our heads. Our gracious Lord Jesus, as we come before you right now, Father God, we pray, Lord, that you would just intercede, Father God, for this little one, Lord God. Oh, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would just come down, Father God, with that healing that you purchased for him on the cross of Calvary, Lord God. And, Lord, work a miracle, Father God. Father, that you would be glorified, Father, through this little one, Lord. Sometimes we know that things may have to get worse in order to get better, Lord God. And we believe, Father God, that's the case. Lord, that you would use this situation, Lord God, to strengthen the family, Lord God, and to help them, Lord God, to look to you, Father God. Oh, Lord Jesus, we commit it into your hands, Father God. What would I do, Lord God, if I was in their shoes, Lord? What would I do if that was my child, Lord Jesus? I pray, Father, that you would just intervene, Father God, in a mighty way. We continue to also pray for Nanny, Lord God, and may you continue to strengthen her, Lord, and let her know that, Father God, you are the peace that passeth all understanding, and that the healing, Father God, has already been purchased for her, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, for it, for it's in Jesus Christ's name. Now we pray, Lord, that you would just bless your word, Father, as it goes forth. Lord God, anoint my lips, Lord, that whatever I say, Lord God, it may be beneficial to the people and you be glorified through your word. For we pray and we ask these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Thank you for that. So let's go to the Word this afternoon, and we're going to read from 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, a very familiar scripture to us. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. All right. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, though the knowledge of through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You just certainly want to escape that corruption. The thing's getting more rotten by the minute. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. From that scripture right here, this is where we get this chart right here. All right? That's the stature of the perfect man. Now, I wanted to concentrate on verse 8 through 11. For if these things be in you, now, if they are supposed to be in you, amen, we know that this is to perfect us on the outside, but they got to be inside of you first by the Holy Spirit, amen? And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. That's key. See, these things are going to produce fruit because they're of the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, it's going to produce, manifest a certain type of fruit, amen? And the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. That's pretty strong words. And cannot see afar off. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In other words, you forgot where God saved you from. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. Amen. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord had blessing to the reading of his word. Praise God. So it's if these things be in you. Now we have to understand again that we've explained this before, that faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, see, all these things come from God. Amen. You can't produce them on your own. Sure, we have a little bit of some virtue, some human virtue, some human knowledge, some human temperance. We're good to people. I know there's people out here that we see they're good, they're patient. There's some people that are more patient than some of us. And they don't even go to church. More patient than some of us who say we believe the message and are Christians filled with the Holy Spirit. They got more temperance than some of us. But see, these things, amen, true virtue, true knowledge, true temperance, true patience, true godliness, and true brotherly kindness has to come by the Holy Ghost in your life. And how do you get the Holy Ghost? It's by a new birth. Amen. By the new birth. Amen. A revelation personally to you. Amen. We all know these things, but it is so key. Amen. In order for you to manifest these things, you have to be born again. Amen. Because they will make you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, these things will produce, the Holy Spirit in you will produce fruit.
Amen. Sure.
Right?
Amen.
Something's got to come out of God in you.
Right.
And it can't be you. It's got to be Him.
Amen.
Amen. It's got to be his life, because if his life is in you, it's got to produce his life.
Amen.
Not your own thing, not your own idea, not your own way. God is not interested in none of that.
Right.
God is only interested in his word. Amen.
Right.
And his word. And his word is life.
Amen. Yes.
And his word should be our absolute. Amen.
Yes.
Praise
Yes.
God.
Yes.
And that's why the reason why I titled this, give diligence to make your calling and election sure in this hour, saints.
Amen.
It is so important that in this hour that we're living in, so crucial, I believe the coming of the Lord is soon at hand.
Amen.
I believe that this thing is winding down.
Amen.
I believe that this thing is squeezing us, and sure, it's happening in the world, but you know, I think ultimately it's God allowing it for you and me.
Right. Right.
For me, you know, over anything, God is allowing it for you and me to what? To examine ourselves. This is not a time for us to get lax. It's not a time to continue going our ways. And some of us maybe even getting worse. Instead of getting holier, we're getting worldlier. Right? It's for us to be able to examine ourselves and say, where am I in the faith, Lord? See, as he said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. All right? The things that happen to us in order for us to do that, amen, squeezes have to come through. You see? Sometimes, you know, when you have an orange, I always give this example. When you have an orange and you squeeze, amen, that juice that comes out, it proves what that orange is, right? You see, that juice that comes out, I'm not expecting pineapple juice to come out of the orange, you see? I'm expecting for orange juice to come out. So sometimes squeezes and problems and tribulations, amen, are for us, amen, to see what we really are. Who did we really believe? What is the word that we believe? What is this? Amen. Or is it just another meeting, just another coming to church, just another message club? Because I believe some of us have treated the coming to church, just like we're coming to a club. We're coming to a lodge. Amen. I'm going to church. I'm going to warm up a pew. I'm going to warm up, you know, amen. You need to be sure where you're standing in the word. Amen. You need to know, amen, that what is going forth in, behind this pulpit, amen, is being, you're applying it in your life. And fruit is coming out of that. Amen. Praise God. So we are free moral agents. God made us to be free moral agents. God is not willing that any should perish, but that we come to repentance. See, and it's awesome that God, I believe that's the grace of God. That God made us free moral agents, that we can choose to serve Him or not. But God knew that before the foundation of the world. But God's not going to push you, again, as Brother Dale's been preaching lately, amen, chosen in Him. God's not going to push you through a tube, and the same way He pushed you is the same way you're going to come out of no. Amen. There's got to be a choosing in your life as well. You, the things that have happened in your life has been because of choices, bad or good, that have happened in your life. Your mama didn't make you do it. Your daddy didn't make you do it. Your grandparents didn't make you do it. Your children don't make you do anything. You decide ultimately what it is that's happening in your life, whether it's good or bad. Am I going to be a good father? That's up to you as a father. My children aren't going to dictate that. The word of God is going to dictate that to me. Am I going to be a good husband? I'm going to look at the word and see what a good husband's supposed to be. Right. Amen. I'm not going to look at anybody else. I'm going to look at the word. Right. Because there's no better husband than Jesus Christ was. Amen. There's no better father than the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Amen. There's no better son than the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Amen. That's the greatest examples that we have. Praise God. So God knows who will make it and who won't. He knew that before the foundation of the world. Praise God. But we are free moral agents to choose, amen, exactly what we're going to do, amen, with this word that's preached behind the pulpit. Are we going to take it really sincerely and apply it in our lives so that fruit can come out, so that others can benefit from that fruit? Remember, the fruit that you give off is not for you to eat. It is for others to enjoy. See, the fruit that I give off is for Zach to enjoy, for Brother Don to enjoy. Amen. They can learn something from, praise God. Amen. They can glean something from that fruit. Amen. Gain strength from that fruit. You see? But it's not for me. I've never seen a tree eating its own fruit. Hey, I've never seen a tree eating its own fruit. The fruit that the tree gives off is for others to enjoy and for animals to enjoy. Amen. Praise God. So look at yourself. Look at your life that way. What fruit am I giving? Amen. Is it good fruit? Is it bad fruit? Is it half rotten fruit? Amen. Because this fruit, others are going to be eating from it as well. Amen. Others are going to be eating from that fruit. Praise God. So I can do whatever I want to. Amen. As a Christian, I can do whatever I want to. You know, You know, some people say, well, you know, it doesn't bother me to do this, that, or the other. Amen. That's between you and God.
Right.
Amen. But I can go out here to the liquor store and buy me some vodka, buy me a gray goose or a 40 or whatever. And I can drink. But when a Holy Spirit filled person, amen, is truly filled with God, they don't have a desire to do that anymore. Where I used to do it, amen, where I used to be comfortable doing it and being around my friends and doing it. Now, when God changes your life, there's no more comfort in that. And the other thing is because I don't want other people to see me, amen, with a bottle of Grey Goose in my hand. You see? That's not who you are anymore. Praise God. So I can do whatever I want to. I just don't want to. There's certain things that I can do and I just don't want to. Not maybe because they're evil, but sometimes it's because of their testimony's sake. Right? There's many things you could put in there. The Bible, Paul says, blessed is the man who whatever he doeth, he's not condemned within itself. You see? Now that's between you and God. Whatever you think is good, whatever you think is bad. Amen. But, amen, we need to make sure that whatever we partake of, amen, is glorifying God.
Amen.
And it's not damaging our testimony as Christians.
Amen.
Because you could be, your life could be a stumbling block just as much as a blessing to somebody. Somebody's always watching you. Always make sure, always remember that somebody is watching us. Maybe this is not what you came to hear this afternoon, amen, but this is maybe a little bit of admonition type word, amen. Praise God. Every now and then we need to shake up, amen, sometimes, amen. You gotta get a hold of yourself, amen. Amen, and just so we can move on. Praise God. Amen. This is what God put on my heart, so. But see, some of the things that we do, saints, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't do none of these things. And we do those things and we don't do those things is because out of appreciation to God. See, you appreciate the Lord for what He's done to you, for you. And therefore you don't do those things. See, I could go download all the hip hop music that I used to listen to when I was out in the world. I sure could listen to Outkast and all those types of things. I could go back and listen to that if I wanted to. The problem is, amen, is that I don't want to, amen. And the people, that's a problem, amen, that people have in their life. They don't have that I don't want to in them anymore. They don't have that I don't want to do it, amen. They're doing it only because maybe mom and dad told them to do, not to do it, or my husband might catch me, or my wife might catch me, amen. But if it's not in you, amen, to stop and let go of the world, amen, then something's wrong with you. The altar is right here and you need to repent. Same thing with me. We got to keep our testimony. Amen. We got to check our motives. Amen. Check our motives to see if they're wrong. Amen. If they're wrong or if they're right, what are our motives like? Amen. Do you have good intentions behind the things that you do? Praise God. Is it to true? Is it to bless people? Amen. Is it to glorify God with your life? Or is it to just try to get away with things in your life and see how close you can live to sin? Before falling in. I'm just gonna just teeter tatter, you know. I'm still over here in the church. I go to church. I read a little bit every now and then. I shake the preacher's hand, but I just wanna be, you know. You better make sure that, you know, you're gonna end up falling at some point. Somebody's sitting there doing that the whole time at the Grand Canyon. Eventually the wind's gonna come through and you're gonna fall. You're going to end up falling. Amen. We don't want to live teeter-tattering, amen, on the world. Amen. The world has nothing good for you. Amen. For a Christian. Praise God. You know, people will show who they really are. I don't have to ask them. You don't have to ask anybody. They will just eventually show who they really are. You know? I don't have to ask a person coming in here, you know, with dressed a certain way or whatever and walking down, you know, and like a pimp or something like that. And you know what kind of lifestyle he lives, you know, Somebody with long hair, you know, coming in here and a shirt that has, you know, this right here and this, you know what kind of lifestyle, what kind of music they feed off of, you know? I don't have to ask them. They just show it. The same thing with you and I, saints. We just show what we really are. We don't have to tell anybody. We don't have, your life will show exactly what's in you. Jesus Christ said that out of the abundance of the heart speaketh the mouth. You are going to say, you are going to live exactly what's in your heart. If the word is in your heart, it's going to show forth the word. There's going to be holiness in your life. There's going to be temperance. There's going to be a certain aura about you. Amen. And nothing hypocritical either. Amen. But if the word is not in your life and if that's not what you feed off on a daily basis, it will show. It will show. So you're not fooling anybody. Eventually it will come to light. I mean, you can be fooling some of us here and you can be fooling people out there, but you're never going to fool God. You're never going to fool God. God knows exactly where you are spiritually in your life. And so as ministers, we have the responsibility to preach the word of God. Amen. The whole counsel of God. Amen. We're commanded to preach the whole counsel of God. Yes. Not just the things that you like to hear. Nope. We are commanded to minister and preach the whole counsel of God. Amen. We are commanded to teach the great doctrines of the Bible. Yes. As we are also commanded to preach against sin and to get into your home a little bit. Amen. Whether you like it or not. Right? Brother Branham did. And he was the prophet of the age. So did Paul in the Bible. And he was one of the messengers of the church ages. I believe a true called minister does that. Not because he's preaching against the people, but he's preaching against the sin. He sees the danger coming ahead. Amen. And he knows that if he doesn't say something against that, amen, the people are going to be ruined. It's going to drag them away. And I had to use Brother Wade. I really got inspired by those scriptures that Brother Wade's been reading lately there in Ezekiel about the watchmen. Amen. Now, we're going to read those scriptures here in just a moment, but we're going to read them in the English Standard Version. It's a much simpler, easier way to read them so that you can see the importance. God has called watchmen over your life. Amen. I think we should reverence them. I think we should respect them. I think we should thank God for them. Amen. Because they're there, amen, trying to listen, amen, to see what is it, God, that you want me to speak to the people in order to help them. Not to cling them on the head, not to thump them on the head, amen, not to bring them down, amen, but to help them so that they could get up from their slumber, amen, and continue moving on with God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's not to call you out, but it's to call out the sin in your life. That's the key. Yeah. To call out the sin in your life, not to call you out. I think that would be inappropriate for a minister to do that, especially from behind the pulpit. Unless he's on one-on-one with you. Amen. Praise God. So let's read that Ezekiel chapter 33, brother Bob, if you could bring that up. From the English, yeah. Let's just read this real quick. The word of the Lord came to me. He said, Son of man, speak to your people. Say to them, whenever I bring enemy soldiers to fight against a country, the people choose someone to be a watchman. Okay? If this guard sees enemy soldiers coming, he blows the trumpet and warns the people. That's his duty. That's his job. And he shouldn't be criticized for it either. Because that's his job. If people hear the warning but ignore it, the enemy will capture them and take them away as prisoners. That's going to be the consequences if the watchman doesn't do his job. They will be responsible for their own death. The people will. The watchman's not responsible if he's doing his job. They heard the trumpet, but they ignored the warning. So they are responsible for their own deaths. I'm not responsible. Brother Wade's not responsible. No minister is responsible. If the word is being preached, then you don't go do exactly what the word says. That's between you and the word. That's between you and God.
They heard the trumpet, but they ignored the warning. So they are responsible for their own deaths. If they had paid attention to the warning, they could have saved their own lives. But instead, you know, he's just up there meddling. He's just up there, that's just him. I'm not going to, no. What if he's telling you the word of God?
Amen.
But what if the guard sees the enemy soldiers coming, but does not blow the trumpet? Since he doesn't warn the people, the enemy will capture them and take them away as prisoners. They will be taken away because they sinned, but the guard will also be responsible for their deaths. That's not something that I want to have on me. Amen. I don't want your blood to be on me. Amen. When God tells me to say something, amen. Now, son of man, watch this. Now, son of man, I am choosing you. This is God now speaking to Ezekiel directly and telling him, I am choosing you to be a watchman for the family of Israel.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure Brother Wade could probably say the same thing. I never thought that I would be a minister. And even in prepping this sermon last night, I woke up this morning and I said, I don't want to preach this.
Yeah.
You don't. You don't want to tell the people and tell them to think on their ways.
Yeah.
No. You like for people to be able to come back and say, that was a great message and rub you,
Sure.
But you know what? Sometimes that can't happen.
No.
Especially when there's nonsense going on.
Right.
And you know what nonsense is going on in your life. I don't know.
Sure.
You see?
That's right.
But this is the whole counsel of God.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Now, son of man, I am choosing you to be a watchman for the family of Israel.
Amen.
If you hear a message from my mouth, you must warn the people for me.
Amen.
I might say to you, these evil people will die. Then you must go warn them for me. If you don't warn them and tell them to change their lives, those evil people will die because they sinned. But I will make you responsible for their deaths. Amen. But if you do warn the evil people to change their lives and stop sinning, and if they refuse to stop, they will die because they sinned. But you have saved your life. It's clear as mud, right? Now, who can argue with that? Oh, that's just only for the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
No, that's just only for Israel. God was only talking to Israel.
No.
The whole counsel of God is the word of God. You've got to see Christ from Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
Amen. And that word applies to us in this hour, saints. Amen. Don't think of somebody, amen, when somebody's really in love, amen, trying to tell you and warn you, amen. Hey, watch your way. Stop doing this. What's going on? What people end up doing is just getting upset. And you know what that is? That's pride. What's pride when you don't recognize your folly because you don't want to bow down to the person, not bow down, but submit to the person that's telling you your folly? What if God sent that person to you? Let's look, for example, at David when Nathan came to him and told him about his fault, about what he had done. What if David would have reacted with, I'm not listening to you. You don't tell me what to do.
Yep.
I could do whatever I want to. I could go sleep with more women if I wanted to.
Yep.
And murder more if I wanted to. David would not have gotten to the place where he got.
Right.
He softened his heart. And he knew that was the Lord talking. Amen.
Amen.
He recognized the word. Amen. That was directly to him. I believe God. I really honestly believe God is speaking through us. It's not coincidence that Brother Wade's bringing these scriptures, amen, to us. It's for us to reflect and to look at ourselves. Amen. And to think, where am I at in this hour? Because I don't think we have much more time, saints. And the time that we have left here, amen, it's the grace of God and the mercy of God to you. To fix things in your life wherever they're wrong. You know what it is.
Amen.
Don't pet things and don't baby things when you know that you need to get rid of them in your life.
Amen.
Praise God. I had to do that myself the other day. Listen, I'm telling on myself. There's things, amen, that I had to think, wait a second. I want my daughters to go this way, to walk this way as a father, right? I want my daughters to look at this example. But I'm not doing exactly what I would want for them to do in this certain area that I'm talking about. God knows what it is. Now, I as the father have to lead as an example. And if you want your children to see, amen, an example in your life and to go a certain way, you have to model that for them. You have to be the model for that, because that's all they know is you as their parent until they get older and get the Holy Ghost themselves. I had to come to that conclusion myself as a parent, because they're looking for you. They're looking at you. I have been called out by my own children and said, "Poppy, you're telling us to do this, but why are you doing this? What are you supposed to say to that? What in the, you know?" And you know what? As parents, some of us, we don't want to lower ourselves to our children and say, "Honey, you're right. You know, you are absolutely right. And I believe it's God talking through you." No, we just get mad at them. Go to your room. You don't talk to me like that. Yeah. You're grounded for a week. Yeah. Well, that's... God uses our children to talk to us. I believe that with all my heart. And I think the younger they are, the more they even talk to you. Amen. So, Proverbs 22:3. The Bible says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself." See? "But the simple pass on and are punished." You see, a prudent man looks ahead, looks at, wait a second, this ain't right in my life. This is, and does something about it. Doesn't let it just grow and fester and continue, amen. And you do something about it. But the simple pass on and are punished. In other words, the ones that don't think on their ways, they're going to receive the consequences of that, of those things. Is this simple enough for us? Amen. Praise God. Isaiah 58:1, that Brother Wade has been reading. I think this is wonderful too. "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions." This is to Isaiah now. To Ezekiel, he was telling him the same thing, and to Isaiah, he's telling him the same thing. Right? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And listen, "Show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin." That's for us too. Why is it that God put a fivefold ministry for us? We don't have Old Testament prophets like they had back then. You know, we have prophets. That's part of the. But why is it that God gave us a fivefold ministry? Amen. It's to warn us. Right? To perfect, for the perfection of the saints. Amen. And you're only going to be perfected by the word. Amen. That they're speaking. It can't be contrary to the word. Amen. It's got to be go with the word. It's got to go with the message. And if you are not perfected, it's not God's fault. If your word doesn't perfect you, instead, when the word goes forth, you get mad and you draw that preacher and he's like, "Hey, he's not one of my favorite preachers anymore. Yeah. You know, you're out of the circle." No, because he preaches on me too much.
Amen.
Then you're not letting the word perfect you. That's between you and God.
Amen.
Amen. See, as ministers, all we do is cast out the net. That's all we can do. Amen.
Amen.
We cast out the net. Now, Jesus taught the net with the word. The net is the word. We just cast out the word. Amen. We want to go fishing. Right? Brother Danny, I'll go with you fishing someday. But we want to go fishing spiritually. I was talking to the brothers there in Nicaragua and Honduras. I stay in touch with them all the time, the young brethren. And they are, all of them are ministers, most of them. And they are so, They want this thing to just go away so bad because within their, they got counties, their own count. They can't, some of them can't even, not even leave their own counties. They got them in lockdown so much and in so many restrictions that they can't even go. They have to show their IDs to be able to go from one place to another. I mean, like it's bad. So we can't complain here. I see people still at the restaurants. I still see people still at, shopping for clothes. I see these people got it bad.
Amen.
And they tell me, and they're so used to being out preaching the gospel and missionary work. That's all their life. That's their life.
Right.
Young people. And they tell me, oh, Brother Luis, I can't wait for all this to lift up. I want to go back and preach the gospel so bad. I want to talk to the people. I want to see the brothers and sisters in this area again. Amen. And I feel the same way too.
Amen.
I have not been back in the mission field now. It's been about over a year now.
Yep.
Over almost 2 years.
Yep.
I want to go out and spread that
Amen.
Net.
Amen. That's
you
right.
see?
Amen. Yeah.
But thank God, you know, we have other platforms that we can do it. Amen.
Right.
But as ministers, that's what we do.
Amen.
Now, we are not responsible for what comes up on that net, in that net.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, you're fishing for fish. But sometimes you get terrapins and you get snakes and you get crabs and you get all kinds of bugs and all spiders and all kinds of different things. I can't help that. And you know what? The all those animals, they're all jumping and in there in the net and they're having a good time under that word. All of them. Oh, it feels good to be all under the word. Amen. And jumping around and shouting and that's all wonderful and good, but eventually they'll show their true colors. They'll get out from under the net. And get away. And even the fish, there's fish that will do the same thing too. They'll jump and shout and all these things while they're under the net, you know. But eventually, them being make-believers, they look like fish. Like true fish, eventually they'll come out from under the net too. But the true fish, amen, the true fish will submit to the net.
Amen.
To the word.
Amen.
Amen. And we'll get carried with the word.
Amen.
And be used for the master's purpose. This has to do a lot with submission, saints. Submitting ourselves to the word. Amen. How are we going to be perfected? Through the word that's preached through the fivefold ministry. It's not the fivefold ministry that perfects you. It's the word that they preach. So when you're coming against the fivefold ministry or when you just say they're just meddling or they shouldn't be in my business, they're being nosy and all this kind of stuff, you're coming against the word. If the word is preaching in your life and you're there squirming and blowing up like a toad, you know, then it's the word that's discerning that in your life. It's not the preacher. If the preacher doesn't live with you. Take that for what it's worth. And think about it. Again, maybe this is not what you were expecting. You were expecting for us to talk about God's peace and God's reassurance. Amen. We need to hear these things too. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So those fish submitted. Amen.
Sure. Right.
The church has to be run by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right. Amen. And if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, again, you're going to produce fruit in your life. God's fruit,
right.
Not your own fruit.
Right.
We are to bear fruit. Not, we don't produce fruit.
Nope.
We are to bear fruit.
Bear fruit. Right.
Amen. We don't produce fruit. Amen. See, whatever a tree is, whatever that life is in that tree, that's the kind of fruit that's going to come out of that tree. You see? That's the reason why you don't have to ask certain people what they believe what their ideas are it'll just come out of them. It'll just come out of them. You can see it. It doesn't have to be a rock star or a rapper or anything like that. You can see it even in the church. What people are like. What people really are. You just see it, especially by the way they talk and by the way they carry themselves.
Sure.
You can see what they do and don't do.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Praise God. Brother Branham says here in the message, if the brothers could bring this up, why some people can't keep the victory. Is a lot of things I got from this message.
Yeah.
So you just go back and read that message. Amen. And Brother Branham will just tell you the same thing I'm telling you. Now notice, now the church doesn't need a polishing. It doesn't need a facelifting. It needs a birth. It needs a conversion. Something's got to happen. Not just to strengthen our borders, not to bring new members. A revival is not to get new members. A revival is to revive what we got. That's what we so badly need. Amen. We have the word. We got the doctrines lined up, everything. We can explain them away. But what does that matter if you don't know how to treat your wife at home? If you don't know how to treat your husband at home? If you kids don't know how to obey your parents? What does it matter that you could explain Daniel 70 weeks to the T and all these things as good as those doctrines are, and we need them? I'm not discounting them, so don't misunderstand me. We need that. But if you don't know how to treat your wife at home, amen, and respect her and see her for what God has given her to you, amen, something's wrong with your life. See, we got this comfort, this security blanket over us that you know, we hear the word, we come and we listen to the word here, and Brother Wade believes the word, and Brother Dale preaches the word, but you know what, saints? We shouldn't use that as a security blanket.
No, that's right.
The real Christian life is what the life that we live at home.
Amen.
At church it's easy to be a Christian.
Oh, yeah, right.
At church it's easy to show something that you're not.
Right.
And to dress the part.
Right.
And to even talk the part. But it's at home. And it's at your job.
Right.
The things that you do on a daily basis.
Right.
On your personal life.
True,
that shows who you really are.
Exactly right.
Amen.
Yes,
or what is it right. that you're really feeding on.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Brother Branham here talking about a revival, you know, and we look at a lake or an ocean, amen, when those waves are moving and when those waves, you know, that water, amen, that lake or that ocean has no more water in it than when it's moving, amen, than when it started or when it's staying still. It's the same amount of water. You see? See, God has given us a certain amount of water in our lives. Amen. He's given us word.
Amen.
Amen. And when the wind starts blowing,
oh, yeah.
The Pentecostal wind, the winds of the word, amen,
amen.
When they start blowing through, it's going to shake, amen, that in you,
yes, sir.
That word that you've already heard,
uh-huh. Right.
And cause a revival in your
amen.
Life. See, I believe that the other day when we had the wonderful services that we had with Brother Andrew Glover.
Amen.
And I believe God was in our midst.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
In a powerful way.
Amen.
And we saw things that we definitely needed to have them. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
But you know what? If you are doing those things and there's no word in you, amen, then it's nothing. But when the word is in you, amen, and you're rejoicing in the word,
yes.
Amen, running down the aisles or whatever, amen, and you're rejoicing in it, amen, there's no condemnation. I mean, the word is in you, amen.
Yes.
That's what right there, that word just
yes.
revives the word more.
Right.
And causes you to act, amen. Praise God.
Amen.
I believe all of us, we need that.
Yes, sir.
We need those things.
Amen.
Sometimes we just get too comfortable over there in the corner. And
yes.
just, you know. Preach it, Brother Dale.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. And then when something like that happens in our midst, an evangelist comes in and stuff like that, we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, he's preaching too fast. He's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's the fivefold ministry.
That's right.
We all need
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
And so see, when those waves are moving, that's a revival to us. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And what is a revival? A revival, a lake has waves and an ocean has waves in order to take the trash out from the ocean.
That's right. Amen.
That's the reason why the waves move and the ocean moves and the lakes move is to take the trash out.
Amen.
That's the reason why we need revivals in our
Amen.
Lives.
That's right.
Amen. Not necessarily that you need to jump, shout, and scream and stuff like that, but you need to, amen, look into yourself and examine yourself. If you look and examine your life, amen, I believe the fact that you're doing that, that's a revival within itself. You see? If the word causes you to do that, and not just to look at yourself and say, I do need to do this, but you don't do anything about it, then that's not going to get anywhere. It's not enough just to acknowledge. It's when you acknowledge and do. Amen. Acknowledge and do. Make a change in your life so that your family can see it. So that others can see it. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Amen. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God didn't say there that that I'm going to lay aside your weight and your sin. No, he said for you to do it. Amen. Amen. You've got to do it. Amen. I can't do it for you. God can't do it for you. You see, the word says it, so you do it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's like that goldsmith. Amen. That goldsmith that's beating that gold. Amen. Beating that gold. Amen. He bleats it. He beats it. And then he turns it over and he beats it on the other side. Amen. Until he sees his own reflection in there. Amen. The word is not always going to be nice and pretty. And it's, you know, you're going to say amen to it all the time. Yeah, no. You know, it's going to be harsh sometimes. But that's the word. Jesus is the exact same way. Amen. He talked about the Beatitudes. And when we think about the Beatitudes, when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, we think that, oh my, he's just telling the people, you know, in such a intellectual way, you know, and he's talking to them. Amen. And we receive that. We love the Beatitudes. But we hate it when he comes in there and takes, amen, and he starts knocking things down and because he's jealous of the word that's being broken. We don't like that too much. We don't like that Jesus. We like the Jesus that's soft and kind. Amen. But we need both of them. We need both of them in order to shape our lives. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So in order to take out the gold is beat. Amen. Amen. That word beats you in order to take out the pyrite, the copper, and the dross out of that gold before it can be used. Amen. Praise God. See, saints, sometimes, you know, we're so loyal to our country. We're so patriotic and we're so, you know, and I believe you should.
Sure.
You should be patriotic. You should love your country and you should love for what it stands for and stuff like that. Amen. But there's so much loyalty to those things. And I like what Brother Aaron says, you know. You're fussing and you're stewing about politics and you're talking about I'm more of a Republican, I'm a conservative and all these, and you're just gung-ho about it. I'm a conservative. I stand with President Trump 2020, you know. And you're not gung-ho about the word.
That's true.
The one that really loves you.
Right.
Trump is not going to change anything.
No.
Neither is Biden.
No.
Hey, you can see what just happened.
Yeah.
Trump can't fix anything.
No.
God's the one that fixes
Amen.
Things.
Amen.
And you're gung-ho about posting it on Facebook 24/7 and you're there posting your politics when that's not going to change people.
No, that's right.
The changes people is the word.
Amen.
Amen. What is beneficial to somebody is the word, the eternal word.
Amen.
That's what changes.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's fine. You can be, you know, I love my country. I love Colombia. I love where I was born and grew up in and part of my life. But,
man,
I'm a citizen of another country.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm going to look to that.
Amen.
I'm going to post about that.
Yeah, right?
Right?
Amen.
That's what I'm going to talk about.
Amen.
Much more than any of these things that are perishing. Brother, like Brother Aaron said, you're just arranging the furniture in the Titanic. It's gonna sink. The Titanic's gonna sink. And you're talking about Republican versus Democrat here and there. All you're doing is just arranging the furniture. Eventually it's gonna sink. It's sad to see our country go that way. But the Bible says that it would go that way. So why are we trying to be just so gung-ho and say, my rights, it's my right, you know. What about God's rights? The rights that it's in the Word, and yet you don't know anything about it. When somebody asks you about the Word, you don't know, what is the new birth? I don't know, I just go to Lula.
Yeah.
See, when a preacher starts preaching that way, we're just called meddling. We're told that we're meddling, where you shouldn't be getting in my business, and all those types of things. And that you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
But Jesus did it.
Yes.
And Brother Brown did it many times too.
Amen.
Didn't call out people by name.
Nope.
No. But he called out that sin.
Amen. Right. Yes.
I use that as my example.
Yeah.
Those are my examples. Amen.
Amen.
See, if the Word of God gets all up in your business, it makes you squirm and stuff. Amen. It needed to do that.
That's right.
See, Satan doesn't like to be exposed.
Right.
Satan, you know the times when Brother Branham would be exposing Satan in people's lives? They'd get all squirmy and, you know, whoa. And Satan doesn't like to be exposed. Amen. I hope this is exposing Satan in some of our lives,
amen,
including my life.
Amen.
I can say, saints, I'm not where I would like to be. Amen. But I know that I'm not what I used to be.
That's right.
But I know that there's a place that I want to be. Amen. And I'm striving and achieving.
Amen.
Amen, day by day to do that.
Right.
Praise God.
Yeah.
See, we should just say when somebody is preaching like this and calling things out. Amen. Is God, you love me so much that brother up there doesn't know what doesn't know anything. And I believe it's God speaking to you. No.
Amen.
Instead, you just get upset, mad, and angry at the brother. And it's not even the brother's fault.
No.
Amen.
True, brother.
You draw him out of your circle. You don't want, that's not my favorite preacher anymore.
Yeah.
No, that's... Amen. Praise God. I'm trying to skip a lot of some of these things. Mark 6. I mean, if you read Mark 6, where Jesus was in his own country, to want to minister to the people, to want to do good for the people, and in his own country, because people knew him and they were comfortable with him. Isn't this Joseph's son, and he's a carpenter, and he's Mary's son.
It's
all right. What he's listening to, what he's saying, it's okay, you know, but I'm still going to go over here and do my own thing afterwards, you know, and still, you know. And the Bible says there that the people there in that country were offended at him.
Right. Sure.
Were offended at Jesus.
Yep.
Miracles taking place everywhere else and all kinds of wonderful things taking place, but in his own country, he didn't have nothing hardly going on. The Bible says there in Mark chapter 6 that the people were offended at him, and he, Jesus, could not do many great works, actually no great works, in that city.
Amen.
It says, except he only laid his hands on a few people and healed them.
Right.
Now I wonder, saints, because of our disrespect and our the way we look at the ministry and the way we look at people, we're so comfortable with one another and we disrespect one another so much that God cannot do many great things amongst us.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It happened in Jesus' life, and could it happen in our life? Because we're so comfortable with each other, we mistreat one another by the things we say to each other, the way we act towards each other, we're so neglectful about our attitudes towards each other.
Right.
And you don't understand that that's hindering God's move in our lives.
Yeah, right.
Think about that, saints.
Right.
Going forward. Amen. Is my life hindering God's move, or is it drawing God's move?
Right.
Amen. I want to draw God's move in my life.
Right.
I want to see people be delivered. Not just healed physically. I want to see people be delivered spiritually.
Amen.
And are you asked the question, is it me that's causing these people to not be delivered? Is it me that is causing young people to not come in and be born again? Have a true new birth in their life? We thank God for the ones that have come in recently, and we thank God for what God's doing in each one of them. And I believe God's doing a work in every one of our young people. But we as adults, we need to show, we need to be salty before them. And if they see that we're disrespecting one another and mistreating one another and mishandling each other, amen, that's gonna cause them, amen. That's gonna hinder the moves of God. Don't say, no, it's just God that does it all. No, yes, He does it all, amen. But we also have something, a part to play in that as well. Our attitudes, amen, will shape things, whether for the negative or the positive. Your attitude towards the Word. Amen. Praise God. Brother Branham in that message, and I like that, he talked about the old skins and the new skins. Amen. The wine skins. Amen. And the old wine, Jesus said that if you put wine in old wine bottles, amen, new wine, they would burst. They would burst. Why is that? Well, it's because the old wine bottles, they don't have oil. See, old skins don't have oil. They don't have, you know, the thing that would allow the skin to stretch. The more you put wine in there, the more it should be stretched. It should be stretching. But he said that if you put good wine, new wine in new bottles, amen, even old wine in new bottles, it's going to be, the skin is going to stretch. In other words, that skin, because it has oil in it, the oil from the animal baby, it's going to allow it for it to be flexible. And saints, that's the thing. If we have the life of God in us, the way we say that we do, the way you should as a Christian, believer of this end time message should, when the word of God is preached and that wine, amen, that stimulation, amen, is going forth behind the pulpit, amen, you should be able to make way for that, amen, and say, God, I want to allow more of this in my life in order to change me, amen, because as that wine expands inside that new skin, amen, it's causing a change. That skin isn't the same from where it started. You see? But because we don't have the Holy Spirit in some of us in our lives, we don't have the Holy Ghost in our life, we're just churchcomers, amen? We're gonna end up just bursting and the whole wine, amen, just goes to waste and so does the skin. In other words, what you've already heard just goes to waste because you don't allow the Holy Spirit to mold you in your life the way it should. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And so, look 1 John chapter 3. Give me about 5 more minutes. 1 John chapter 3 says, verse 21 through 22. Because your prayers, they are not going to be answered when you're in disobedience to the word. They're just not. I mean, this is what John says. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, you know if you're pleasing the Lord or not. See, in verse 21 it says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. If you have condemnation about the things that you do in your home and the things that you allow in your home and those types of things, if that condemns you, but you don't do anything about it, that's between you and God. You rest assured, God is not going to listen to your prayers because there's condemnation in your life. Now, there's a way to get out of that and say, Lord, I'm getting rid of that out of my life. I'm taking that out of my life. Amen. For the example of my children, for the example of my wife, for the example of the church family. Amen. And I'm not going back to that again because I don't want my prayers to be hindered anymore. That's what it says. Is that what it says? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Amen. It reminds me of when Joshua, was fighting the battle there, the Amorites, and it was when Moses was still with his hands raised up, and Aaron and Ur were on each arm trying to keep his hands raised up. And every time that Moses lowered his arms, amen, the people, the Israelite people would start losing the battle. But every time he would raise his hands back up, the people, amen, would start winning the battle. Yep. And out there in the battle was the Holy Spirit, Joshua, out there fighting with them. Because the Bible said that he would be with us, even in us.
Amen.
And Joshua was hearing the word from Moses. The word of the Lord came to Moses, and Joshua got that word and gave it to the people and said, this is what we need to do in order to keep fighting and win this battle.
Right.
Amen. And the Bible says there in verse 14 of that chapter that God that day fought their battles for them, fought that battle for them. But I thought it was the Israelite people fighting. They were fighting, but because they were all in submission, all in order, all doing exactly what the prophet said, all doing exactly what Joshua was telling them to do, the Lord stepped in and fought their battle. Because they were all in order. What happened on the day of Pentecost? They were all in one accord. And the Holy Spirit did the rest of it. When you do your part, God will do His. But when you don't do your part and you're slacking and doing your own thing, adding your own ideas, your own intellectuals into it, and think that you can get away with things, you know, and on the verge of going into the world and all kinds of stuff, you better believe it. God's not going to hear your prayer. You're hindering yourself and you're hindering those around you. Amen. Brother Branham says here, and with this quote I'm finishing, in the same message, why some people can't keep the victory. Let us bow our heads while we think of the other. What is it? Maybe you've been a church member for a long time, but do you say, I've got to quit this, I've got to do this? Is that the way you operate? Look what Brother Branham said. That's intellectual. That's intellectual. But is there something in you? Is there something in you, the real love of God in your heart? If it isn't, why don't you accept it today? Why would you accept a substitute? Have all that you got to know that you're a Christian because you belong to a church. It is all you've got to know you're a Christian. It's because you've shouted. All you got to know that you're a Christian because you spoke with tongues. See, I believe all these things, but I've seen witches and wizards speak in tongues. All that you've got to believe, maybe you've got oil in your hands or a bloody face. And then Brother Branham keeps going. He says, brother, you're miserable.
Yep.
Yes, why not? You take the real. Why take a substitute when the Pentecostal skies are full of the real? Why take a substitute, saints? Why take a substitution of just going to church and I listen to Brother Dale and Brother Dale preaches the word and I know that I'm okay because I go up there to that church. That won't save you. You need an experience with God. You have to have your own experience with God. We appreciate everything in the ministry here, definitely, but Brother Dale can't do no more to you if you don't listen to what he's trying to tell you. Brother Wade can't help you if you don't listen to the word that he's trying to preach. It's got to be your decision. That's the reason why God made us free moral agents. You're going to advance with God or you're going to just stop. God's going to keep moving. The Bible says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, because he's constantly walking, he's a live word. And if you're there walking in the light, in that word, amen, then that word will fight your battles. That word will change you from the inside out, saints.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
I trust that this helped you.
Amen.
Spark something in you, amen, to look at yourself and examine your personal life.
Amen.
And say, God, where am I with you? Really, truly, where am I? Am I just a churchgoer? Am I just one that just says I believe the message and it's like coming to a club or something like that? No. Am I really a born-again Christian? The way the Bible says it. Amen. God bless you all. Let's stand to our feet. The musicians come. Praise God. if you know that, if we know this little verse, we'll just sing it. If you pick it up, Sister Esther, if you don't know it, but it goes, do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it like the Bible says? Do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it like the Bible says? Yes, I want it. Yes, I want it. Yes, I want it like the Bible says. Yes, I want it. Yes, I want it. Yes, I want it like the Bible says. Yes, I have it. Yes, I have it. Oh, yes, I have it like the Bible says. Yes, I have it. Yes, I have it. Yes, I have it like the Bible says. Do you have it? Oh, do you have it? Do you have it? Oh, do you have it like the Bible says? You have it. Do you have it? Do you have it like the Bible says? Yes, I want it. Yes, I want it. Yes, I want it. Oh, yes, I want it like the Bible says. Yes, I want it. Yes, I want it. Yes, I want it like the Bible says. Amen. Yes. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. If you really want something, amen, you're going to seek it. You're going to find a way to get it. If you're really thirsty, amen, you're going to find somewhere to get water. You're going to go out of your way to do it. And that's the same thing with the things of God. If you really want it, you're going to do something about it. But if you really don't, but just leave it aside, move on with my life, but it's going to end up in death. Amen. Praise God, Brother Boyd. We'll sing one more.
Greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Sun he tends like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro. Seeking whom he may divine, the Bible tells us so. Many storms have been us ready to call in some weak eye. Oh, but God has promised us today his overcoming power. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me. I said, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. On the day of Pentecost, the rushing mighty wind moved into the upper room and baptize all of them with the power greater than many earthly foe. Oh, but God, I'm so glad I got it too. I'm gonna let the whole world know. Greater is he that is in me. I say, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in. Let's sing that chorus one more time. Oh, greater is he that is in me. I said, greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen. Do you believe that? That the power that God has given you is greater than anything else out here. And that Satan himself. You have more power than you realize that you do. Amen. So let us take advantage of it. Amen. God bless you, saints. Keep us in your prayers. Continue to pray for these ones. Continue to pray for Sister Peggy. Pray for Brother Dale as well. I'm sure that it's hard on him as well. But he's doing everything that he can. Amen. And I believe that God will bless him for that. So just continue to pray for Brother Dale as well on that. Continue to keep this baby. His little baby's name is Sean. Sean is the little baby's name. And we'll keep you all updated on that because I believe God's going to do something great. I believe it with all my heart. Amen. Brother Wade, did you have anything to say before? Okay. Brother Bob is going to be ministering Wednesday, so remember him in prayer. Amen. And remember the names that Brother Wade read out this morning. If you just go back and listen to this morning's sermon at the beginning, and then you'll be able to see what names were called out. Amen. And then we can approach that way. Well, God bless you. Let's just pray before we are dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your love, mercy, and grace. Thank you for your word, Lord God. Lord, we believe, Father God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father God, we should see Christ, Father God, from Genesis to Revelation, Lord, as the prophets declared it unto us, Lord. So we ask, Father God, that if in some way or another the word that was said, Lord, today, if it's, Father God, touched us in whatever way to look into a certain area in our lives or to look at this in our lives, but Lord, help us to do so. Help us not to be like the man that it talks about in James that looks in the mirror and forgets what he saw and just moves on, Lord. Because, Father God, we want to change. We want to be different. We want to be the light, Father God, that others could be drawn to that light. And that they may be able to have a relationship with you as well. Grant it, Lord, bless my brothers and my sisters, Father, as they're heading out right now. Watch over them. Keep them safe. Bless the ones at home, Lord God. And keep us, Father God, keep us the rest of this week that's coming, Lord, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. This world is not-